Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Labor Day weekend, the last unofficial weekend of summer. Three-day weekend, stock up now. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Mark Wogenrich in a moment, but first, our play-by-play call of the day.
First and goal, Penn State at the 10. Clifford back. Wheel route lead. Got it. Touchdown, Penn State. They go 80 yards of the clutch and take the lead.
Well, I tell you, Lee goes out of the backfield, and Clifford does a good job. It is a touch pass downfield, up over the defender. He sees Lee wide open, and Penn State is able to put the touchdown now with 57 seconds left to go. Man coverage. He was beaten immediately to the outside linebacker, and Lee makes the catch for the score.
Yeah, that goes back to what, remember we were doing keys to the game in the pregame show, and I said, look, the team that can beat cover zero wins. That was cover zero. That's the definition of what cover zero was that play. They beat it. This plane beat it. All right, let's bring in from SI.com, I believe it's Fan Nation, and that is Mark Wogenrich, my friend, welcome.
Good morning, good afternoon. What time is it? What day are we? 4 hours.
And
of,
good afternoon. Good night, whatever. Are you back?
Yeah, I was. This was a game I couldn't get to, so at least I didn't have to be in the press box until 3 a.m. Just at home until 3 a.m. But it took that much time to process. Yeah.
I walked in my door at 4:15 this morning, so. Yeah, it's all right. For some reason, I wasn't tired. I don't know why. I'm sitting here right now.
Who can tell why? You know, after what, seven lead changes and 100 passes, why you would be in a game that ended that way? Why you still wouldn't be tired?
Yeah, exactly. So, to me, this is a on the winning side of it. The winning coach, James Franklin. This is, to me, a great scenario because he's got video that shows a lot of positives. He's got video that needs corrections, and he's doing it from a position of a win. Is that fair to you?
Yeah, not only is it fair, I think it's absolutely true. I mean, if you think about the last, you know, they've basically flown home from a Big Ten opener for three straight years, right? Two of them they left happy. All three of the games, they've flown home with a bunch of corrections they've had to make. Twice they've done it, you know, from a positive perspective, and then 3 years ago, or you know, 2020, they did it kicking themselves, asking, how did we let that one get away? Could have done that last night, too. I think Manny Diaz is going to go in there with, like, a flash drive full of stuff that he can show his guys. I think Mike Yurcich can say, you know, we tried to establish a run that we never really were able to do. We've got to fix all of that. And ultimately, then you're doing it, though, the fact that you know you beat a good team on the road and probably one of the better environments they've ever had, for at least looking from, you know, you've been there a bunch of times, looking at it from afar. That I don't remember being in an atmosphere at Purdue that looked anything like that, sounded anything like that. And you know, ultimately, when you can do that, when you're a coach and you can go in there and do 30 seconds of, hey, great win now, fix all this, I think you feel so much better about that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I do too. I mean, when you look at it, and I thought Manny Diaz, the last five possessions of the game for Purdue were 3-3 and outs, a 5-and-out, and a 6-and-out. So the last five possessions, they ran a total of 20 plays. Yeah. It looked like that Manny had them tighten up all the windows, right? Not as much cushion. And to me, that's a coordinator that, okay, I practiced with these guys, but it was the first time he'd actually been in practical application with it. And I thought he made some really interesting adjustments.
And that really could have backfired on him because those guys had to be. I mean, they played. By my count, there were 23 guys who played on defense. Yeah. Get them in 22, 23. They haven't even been players. They had to be exhausted. Especially that back, you know, the secondary. That back seven had to just be just gassed completely at that point. And now you're asking them to make a bunch of tight quarter plays. It could have been more pass interferences. It could have been. It really could have unraveled for them. I mean, there was a one throw downfield that overturned. That was a really, really close catch on Purdue's part. That might have changed the momentum in the situation at that point. But to entrust a secondary that, that was involved in so much. I mean, they made great plays. They made, they made bad plays. They ran a spectrum in that game. To entrust them in that situation, for them to come through against an offense, to me, inexplicably, through 11 times in a row with the lead.
I know.
When you've got a pretty good running back, that's a stressful situation. And to me, there was an incredible response. I had to go back and look. Five stops in a row. And those were stops that with plays, too. Those are stops with broken up passes. And with a couple of really important sacks, timed, really incredibly well-timed sacks.
Joey Porter Jr. Had the one PI early, holding maybe whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Boy, after that, Mark, that's one of the better performances I've seen by a Penn State corner in a long time. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen a Penn State corner involved in a game like that. Again, a spectrum. I mean, he had that interception that may or may not could have returned. He's at the ball, recovers the Key Wheatley's fumble. He did have the PI. I mean, he was involved. They threw to that Charlie Jones like 12 times he was covering. He broke up three passes. That was the credit, and I think it's probably at least five or six that he was involved in. He was great, and he was flashy, and he made mistakes. He just played this an outsized game. Like, I can't remember a Penn State corner just feeling like they were so much a part of a game like that. And it really was fascinating to me that Purdue kept going back to it and just kept, you're covering our best receiver, so you're going to get the action. And ultimately, even with 19 targets, I think, for Jones, something like that, even with all of that, I think Joey came out as a winner in that game.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. The running game part of it, the eye part of it is, this is going to be maybe go 180 of the visual of last night, maybe it goes 180 of the stat part of it last night. Kind of walked out of there, and Jack Ham and I both felt, especially with the two kids, that they're eventually going to have a running game with this team, that's just us. What did you think?
Mm-hmm. That's the right word, but that's also a word that's 14 games now of eventually, going back maybe to a little bit of 2020, different situation, obviously. But I think eventually is got to come pretty soon for the run game and for the offensive line. There were flashes. I liked the way those two freshmen ran. I think Yvonne Lee, if he seeds carries over the course of the next few weeks and the rest of the season to Singleton and Catron Allen, I don't think that means he's going to be any less important to that offense, which he showed on that last series. He had two very important catches on that last series. And that wheel, that's a tough catch. That looked a little Saquon Barkley-esque
yes.
to me, the way he cut. Not only did he caught it, but if you look, you know, you watch the replay, he looks down at his feet, and he's got to move, you know, he's got to keep his feet from, you know, getting out of bounds kind of thing. I mean, he really kind of did a little step that was just perfect. And in that situation, I mean, that was pretty remarkable. So I think they're going to bust it out probably two of the next 3 weeks. I think they're going to probably push it against Ohio, push our running game really, you know, maybe lopside the run-pass ratio. I think it was 58-42 last night or something like that.
Yeah.
Throw pass. I think they're going to get a little closer. They're going to get closer to 50, probably run a little more. I think they're going to try to do that. And I think really try to press it next week to get, especially to get the freshmen some real live work.
They really struggled at times, I think, to get pressure with four last night. I also know that Purdue plays in a certain way that causes yep. that. I mean, you do have to take that into account. O'Connell was a 72% passer for the entirety of last season.
Mm-hmm.
He had 50% last night. And I mean, it felt like he was hitting plays, but then Jack and I kept looking at the numbers going, geez, only get 50. So in the end, that turned out okay because he was 22 percentage points below his normal number.
That was one of probably the strangest stat line when I looked at it and I saw that Sean Clifford, if you're going to feel a game, feel a quarterback game, those numbers seem completely inverted to me. Sean Clifford was at 54%, and his QB rating was like 148. And Aiden O'Connell was at 50%. His QB rating was around just barely over 100. It felt different than that. I think a lot of that has to do with Penn State's secondary just being around balls persistently and consistently. I think the stat that ultimately struck me most, he had 19 touchdown passes in, the last five games of last season? He threw last night.
One.
That was that's kind of what Penn State used to do to Drew Brees back in the 90s, when Drew Brees would throw for a billion yards and they just couldn't get the ball in the end zone consistently. One touchdown pass out of 58 throws. That's when you know your defense is getting stops. Ultimately, you want that more than anything.
Doug Flutie. Back in the day, Doug would throw for 500 yards this year, 40 the other way. They'd score 17. They'd score 10. okay. Wow.
Meanwhile, Sean's got four touchdown passes, two of them in the last minute of each half.
He threw one touchdown pass for every 9 attempts.
Yeah.
And O'Connell threw one touchdown pass for every 58. And now, what did you think of Drew Aller?
I think he threw the best pass of the night, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. He throws a beautiful ball.
Goodness.
Jeez.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's the kind of thing that you're gonna look back on in a couple of years and say, remember, you know, that third down play, I think he could have ran. That stuff that he's got to learn. And then in a couple of years, he's going to be doing that. But just in that moment, that instant, watching him move around the pocket, the way he moved around the pocket, and then that ball to Tyler Warren, that took me back. That's when I said, whoa, that's a throw. That's just a legit throw. It's good to see Tyler come back on that last series. Again, there seemed like to be a lot of redemption stories in that game, but it was good to see Tyler Warren come back in that last series and catch that ball from Sean and hold on to it because he got crushed. That was a big play on the scoring drive, but you would know he would want to catch that pass.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
I mean, and again, he's not a scrambler, Drew Aller.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a better runner than people think he is, and he showed it on that one play, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And he could have probably run a third, again, learning situation. What do you think struck me watching it on television was just before he came in, they showed a close-up of him, and you could see him smiling through the helmet. I mean, he did not really display anxiety or fear in that situation. I mean, if he had it, you know, I'm saying there's, if he had it, though, he was suppressing it, because that smile looked eager. It didn't look afraid. You know, well, there again, was not a nervous smile in that situation at all.
Yeah, we have the big advantage, Jack and I do, of having Brian Tripp right there on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian was telling us, you know, he was calm, cool, collected, at least outwardly, and that Mike Yurcich told him, he says, look, keep it simple, just go in and just be you. And that,
yeah.
it looked like that's what he did.
And yeah, I think at this point you want to see more of that,
yeah,
too. You know,
sure,
you definitely want to see more of him. Maybe others too, I don't know, but you want to see more of that. You want to see him get maybe establish some more feet and establish some more rhythm and playing time. Hopefully he gets that in a couple, you know, next couple of weeks.
It is always great to talk with you, and I'm glad you're going to at least be in the building this week. That'll be great.
Absolutely.
All right.
See you Saturday.
Thanks, Mark. You're the best. Mark Wolgorich, FanNationSI.com. King coming up, final half hour. Surprised the suit hasn't forced you to put up a poll on the internet as to who should start the next game. He's usually good at that stuff because he tries to get clicks.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that yet.
Yeah, well, if you do, you'll have one less talk show host. All right, so. Whoops. Guess we shouldn't have done that. Okay. The Amazon audience for preseason game, their Amazon preseason, they did one, right?
Yeah, just the San Francisco Texans game.
They had 1.035 million viewers. And Amazon audience, on average, was 5 years younger than the average NFL preseason audience. Now, the average NFL preseason audience is 56. The average audience for the Amazon thing was 51. So don't sit there and think, hey, they must have been 20-something years old. No. But it did skew younger. How about that?
Yeah, I can't say that's shocking by any means.
Now, Matt watched the first Amazon broadcast. And in a related note, Lisa bought $500 on Amazon. No, I'm just kidding.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I couldn't get it to work. That was my problem.
Well, evidently she did, because based on the emails you sent me about the billing, wow. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of Mark and Luke stuff. You know, Steeler gear, trying to, you know, let's turn the kids into winners.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
She knows better than that. She'll try, but she knows that she's not going to win that battle.
Garrett Cole couldn't even beat the Angels. Couldn't he beat the Angels? Right now, he's averaging $3.6 million a win.
Even worse, if the Yankees were to get swept, they'll only be up by three games.
It's a lot of coin. I told you they were in trouble. You don't listen to me. And you just ignore everything I say.
I said a couple of weeks ago, the Yankees might pull an 0-7 Mets. They're in position to do that now.
You, again, injuries have caused a big problem for the Yankees. Okay, let's be, you know, all kidding aside.
Yeah, no question.
They got, and I mentioned, what was it, about the All-Star break? I said how they've been able to get through unscathed. And that's a key to anybody's season. The teams with the fewest of these, everybody's going to get them. Everybody. But the team with the fewest that has talent to begin with, right? That's the team that will usually get through. And then all of a sudden, when they got hit, it's been, you know, they've had a rash of them. And hard to overcome. But, I mean, Cole's been healthy the entire time. It's just, you know, it's... And that clutch gene's having a little trouble right now. We need you to do something. I'm trying, but I'm out of spider tack. Oh.
Okay. F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Got a lot of high school football tonight. Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie will be at Mifflin County tonight. I believe at Mitchell Field. I believe. Where Mifflin County will take on Shikellamy at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime. It is the best broadcast in the high school football business with Kev and Dave right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sealands Grove is on Eagle 107, 100.9. The Valley has Lewisburg, and we've got camera coverage to go with our great announce teams, and they are great announce teams. Led by Kevin and the Chief, the award winners. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. See, I can be serious about Kev. All right? I can do that. I'm capable. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. It's Labor Day weekend. Stock up now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. On this college football playoff expansion, it'll be a 12-team bracket. It can start as early as 2024. It can start as late as 2026. It will feature the six highest-ranked conference champions as automatic qualifiers and the six highest-ranked at-large teams following the season. So it could start as early as 2024. With that, we bring in the King.
What's that? I don't understand that. What is that?
College football playoffs. Instead of having four, they're going to expand to 12 teams.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, I like it.
I thought you meant they were making a league.
Oh. No. It's the playoff. And Matt knows, when did I start the 12-team drumbeat? 2 years ago?
At least that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been right there with you.
No, and believe me, I influence zero. I'm just saying, in idle time, I think 12 would be good. So, there we go. Now, we're going to do picks today.
That's right.
We picked for you last week. You went 0-11.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I'm just joking. I'll tell you, this long time ago. So, let's go back. It was 1985. Penn State's playing Cincinnati at Riverfront Stadium. And it's Gil Santos, John Grant, me, and the TV guys are Stan Saverin, think the world of him, and George Paterno. Okay. So we used to do a pregame roundtable with Joe Paterno as the pregame show. So for 45 minutes, the five of us would ask Joe questions. It was fun. Then Joe would leave, and then the last segment, yeah, we do one general segment, and the last segment, we would pick the game. Okay. So John Grant decided that he wanted to go out with his buddies, John Miller, Terry Williams, and a few other guys in an RV. And so they're driving from State College to Cincinnati in the RV. Now, it's a Friday afternoon, and I know you're shocked, but they ran into traffic. So when it came time to tape the show, John's not there. So it's Gil, Stan, George, me, four of us with Joe. We get to the last segment, and Kevin knew Gil. Gil passed away a couple years ago. Kevin knew Gil, and the sense of humor Gil had. So he's the lead guy, Gil Santos. Time now to pick the game. He says, we're going to do this two ways today. Number one, each of us will pick how we feel the game will turn out in the final score. And then each of us will pick the game for John Grant based on John's football knowledge. I'll go first. And he says, I say Penn State will beat Cincinnati 45-10. John will say Cincinnati 34, Penn State 6. I go second. I said, I'm going to pick Penn State 38, Cincinnati 3. John will say John will say Cincinnati 27, Penn State 1. And he says, and Gil says, 1? I said, yeah. He said, how do you get 1? I said, you said this was based on John's football knowledge. And everybody falls down, they're all laughing. And of course, the next day, John's in the booth and he's listening. And he goes, you jerks. He looks at me, he goes, you ain't. With a smile on his face because he knows we're all kidding, you know. So fantastic. We picked the games for you last week. You didn't do well. You're way behind.
I think the fascinating thing is you can remember verbatim something that took place 37 years ago.
Oh, my almighty!
I'm not shocked by this one bit anymore.
I have a sad, sick mind. Everybody knows that.
But to be fair, we all went 6-3 last week. So we're all still on a clean slate.
6-3. He picked UConn over Utah State. He picked Nebraska. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
I was shocked you didn't pick UConn, but
I wouldn't take
UConn, but I thought they were UConn covered, and they covered easy. Well. I mean, UConn won the second half.
That was the most shocking part of the weekend.
That's the other part of the Penn State game last night. You should have walked away happy. They covered.
There you go.
I didn't even know they were playing. The only way I heard about the game was on the Boston station. Jerome Wiggins is on the show I listen to in the morning, and his lead for the day was the horrible call that the Penn State linebacker number 11 got kicked
Carter.
Out of the game on. He said, that's just ridiculous.
No, it was.
Yeah.
We didn't get to that yet.
Wow, they played. Holy cow.
Yeah. That poor kid, he plays one play. To me, that play is the official's fault. You blow the whistle, and they didn't blow the play dead. So he's going for the ball. And
right.
I'm like, come on. You know,
that's
you can't
what Jerome
do that.
Said. He said that there was the ball was loose, you know, or something like that. He said,
yes.
You got to change this rule. I mean, if the kid intentionally goes in with his head, fine. But if his head happens to be in the way, you don't throw him out of the game. I mean, that's stupid.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the officials on the field did not throw him out. right? It wasn't until they got buzzed down from the booth and the booth review did it. They didn't stop the game to flag him for targeting. The booth review made them do it.
And that came crazy. Late, too.
That's just liberal crap, you know.
I mean,
don't want anyone to get hurt. Well, it's football, so, you know.
The targeting thing is all messed up. I've talked about it over and over again. How many times do you see, for example, just on a natural flinching reaction where a wide receiver or running back, boom, there's going to be contact, and what is the natural instinct? They duck down, and then they take their helmet and they put it into the other guy's helmet.
So why isn't it a penalty when the running back is running and he stiff-arms a guy right into his face mask? How come that's not a penalty?
I've seen it called one time, Kev. One time I actually saw a running back get called for face mask.
It's not a penalty. They let them do whatever they want. It's not consistent, so it's really hard. You hold your breath, you know? When you see a kid make a tackle, you're like, oh, God, I hope that wasn't too hard. You can tell when somebody leads with their head. It's not.
Yeah.
And
right.
I did see the play.
Right.
Of what I understand, he did not lead with his head.
No,
his
he did not.
Happened to get in the way.
He did not, but at the same time, you're like, okay, you know, it gets to the point when you're broadcasting it. It is what it is. You accept it and you move on to the next play.
Yeah, I know. I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm talking about the kid's going to miss the next game.
No, he doesn't. No. Because he actually can play the full next game. Because it happened in the first half, he can play the entire game next Saturday. If it had happened in the second half, he'd have to miss the first half of the next game.
So because I'm stupid. Oh, all right, whatever. He shouldn't miss any time. He should be, all right, you're out of this game, and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's just not.
I know. That's the other thing I've campaigned for a long time. You've got all this technology. Take time on a Sunday, review all those plays, and sit back and say, you know what? He should miss the first half of the next game. That was a spearing. Okay? Or, you know what? Okay, he got thrown out, but you know what? Hey, he can play the full next game because we've looked at it and it wasn't, you know.
It's called your head, right?
Yeah, it's called common sense. And there's very little common sense in sports. Very little.
No.
A lot of money, very little common sense. Now, believe me, Kevin Warren was in the booth next to me last night doing his victory tour. So it's all good to see him.
And it was a good win for them. They came back and won. From what I understand, they shouldn't have come back for whatever reason. They couldn't hold the lead. It's also very early.
Well, they didn't hold the lead because they threw an interception. It was run back for a touchdown because then they came back.
I'm just saying, it's early in the year. You're going to.
It's a 60-minute game.
It's
60 minutes.
Win, so.
It's 60 minutes. They're the ones that made the plays at the end of one. Purdue had two first downs the last five possessions of the game.
That's good.
So, that's, you know.
Yeah.
That helped.
Defense played well. Yeah.
All right.
So, good news.
Let's get
to play next.
Ohio University a week from tomorrow.
I rolled the keg there.
They still talk about that. We'll come back with the picks of the week next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Pitch time. This time, Kevin gets to participate to see if he can make up for the 0-9 start.
There we go. But we all went 6-3 last week. So we're all on a clean slate as we get it going for real this weekend.
We were in Tornado Alley last week.
Yes, I'm glad you guys are all right.
Yeah, I talked about
that. Yeah, they have rotation on the campus. They were, everything turned black, and then the power went out, whatever. So I figured I better, make sure. Although I found your conversation fascinating, I had to tie the grill down.
Talking to the suit. On that note, let's just get this game out of the way. Colorado State at Michigan. King.
Just because you're ranked number 8 the first week of the season doesn't mean you're number 8. You could be number 28, I took Colorado State. Colorado State's one of those teams that all of a sudden, wow, they're good,
All right. What? I hate Michigan. Everybody does that listens to this show, so I would love to see that happen, actually. Steve.
Michigan will bludgeon them.
Who did you take, Matt?
I got Michigan, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to roll the dice, why not?
Yeah. Next game that we'll get rid of. Number 4, Clemson at Georgia Tech, Sunday night. Steve.
Yeah, for all those people who are saying, boy, it'd be great to have Georgia Tech in the Big Ten because of the Atlanta market. Do you think any TV executive wakes up and goes, oh, my God, we got the Georgia Tech game tonight. How lucky are we? I mean, come on. Clemson will win, and I'm going to say they'll win by 17 points at least.
Yeah, I don't know what those people would be smoking. And I actually think Colorado State has a better chance to win than Georgia Tech. Clemson by a million.
Yeah, I took Clemson. Maybe we ought to start some of these games, some of the big teams, and do the point spread.
Well, I'm not totally comfortable with that. So,
why?
Because as a team announcer for college team, I shouldn't be doing point spreads.
Why?
Because as an announcer for a college team, I should not be doing point spreads.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just an.
Okay. Maybe you and I could try it.
As a fan, I say, why? What's that got to do with? You're just picking games on the radio. You're not
contractual obligations. All right, next one. We got. Let's get this one out of the way too. Utah State and Bama. After Utah State was destroyed, almost barely beat Nevada. I think it was last week, Steve.
Utah State beat UConn.
UConn. Oh, that's right. What am I talking about? Yeah, they had a tough time with UConn.
Alabama's the prohibitive favorite. They should be, so obviously.
Bama. King?
But will they cover? Alabama's going to destroy them. Unless UConn's that good, and Utah State is so good, and UConn is really good, which I don't see. And what a shame. The quarterback for UConn, he was transfer from Penn State.
Yeah. And I like Taquan's a good kid, too. I feel awful for him.
Yeah, he's out for the year. Too bad. But I got Alabama. So.
All right, this one is going to be very interesting. Number 23, Cincy, at number 19, Arkansas. King.
I took Cincinnati. I think they're going to continue their role. I was disappointed with Arkansas last year. I thought they were better than they were. So, Cincinnati.
Steve? Depends what Arkansas wants to do. I think if they use the offensive line and use KJ Jefferson's legs, they win the game. And so I'm going to go with Arkansas.
I'm going with the Razorbacks, too. I think they have definitely more talent than Cincinnati after something they lost last year. I just really like their run game, too, from watching them against Penn State in the bowl game last year. So I'll take the Razorbacks in a very close competitive game at home. All right, next one. Oregon, number 11, at number 3, Georgia, the defending champs. Steve.
Well, Oregon's not going to be 11 when this is done. Georgia's going to win big.
I got Georgia as well. I think if Oregon's able to run the ball, they can stay with it, but I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball because I think that defensive line is still overpowering, regardless of all the guys they lost.
24 points as a margin.
Okay.
They're going to crush them. They're going to crush them.
Yeah, I think Georgia's still going to win the line of scrimmage fairly easily, even though that is apparently the best offensive line in the Pac-12.
It's a non-competitive game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that. King?
I got the Bucs.
Hey, you never know.
How do you say it's non-competitive when neither team's played a game this year?
I know Lanning knows them. He was the defensive coordinator at Georgia last year. Yeah. I know all that. I just don't like the matchup. I mean, the matchup just is not. And Oregon ran the ball well early last year, but then they fell off the map. And you're going to have to run the ball in a game like this so you can at least have the threat of mixing it up. And the game's in Atlanta, too. So that's uncomfortable.
But they wear fluorescent uniforms, and that will really psych them out. Hey, I like Oregon. They're fun to watch. I like their uniforms.
You know, Lisa says the same thing.
Phil, one of my reasons for taking Oregon is half of the Georgia team is in the NFL now. So
yeah, but they're reloading.
They won the national championship, but these are different players.
They're still reloading, in my opinion, but I hear you. Oh, before we get to our final game, I forgot about this. Actually, I shouldn't say that. This might be interesting. Number 7, Utah at Florida. Steve.
Like Utah. I like them. I know it's a big game for Billy Napier. I know it's down at the Swamp, but I like Utah's team. That's a good-looking team, especially in the trenches.
Yeah, I think this is a rather close game, but I can see Utah pulling away in the fourth quarter. I just think they have way too much depth, especially offensively. So I'll go with the Utes.
I got Utah also.
All right, clean sweep there with the Utes. Now we get to the premier game of the week as we close it out here. Notre Dame, Ohio State. King.
I took Notre Dame because I don't understand why Ohio State's always ranked so high. And I actually thought they stuck last year. So I know Notre Dame's got a new coach, so we'll see what happens. But I got the Fighting Irish.
I hope you're right, but the reason why is Ohio State's really good. ND should not be ranked as high as they are, in my opinion, and that's coming from an ND fan. I think Ohio State wins by 3 touchdowns at least. I think this is going to be close.
First start at quarterback for at Notre Dame for this kid. That's a tough place to have your first start. Ohio State by at least 20.
There you go. Lock them in. And next week we get to add the NFL.
Yeah, I can't wait for the NFL. Boy, it's not looking good for me here, huh?
Well, you may win the whole thing.